We're offering all the presidential candidates running in 2020 a chance to come on the show and talk with us. Today, John Hickenlooper, former governor of Colorado and Democratic presidential candidate. Governor, welcome to Here and Now.
Glad to be on, Jeremy. Thanks for having me.
Well, I want to start with what's been in the news the last several days, which is the Mueller report. How big an issue would you make this if you're the nominee in 2020?
Well, I think it's obviously a large issue no matter where you are as a citizen of America. I mean, take the facts that no one's arguing about. The Trump campaign welcomed the assistance of a hostile foreign power to interject themselves and try and change the outcome of our elections. That, to me, that's unthinkable. And then, of course, they lied about it. And then they took steps to prevent the truth from coming out. So, and we should expect more from our commander-in-chief.
Do you think the Democrats should push for impeachment?
Well, I think the key things that we need to focus on first, I think, is that we have to really push for an unredacted copy of the report that goes to Congress. I think Mr. Mueller should testify in front of Congress. And then we can see in gory detail and in high contrast color more clearly what went on and make a decision about impeachment.
You are a former geologist for an oil and gas company. You co-founded a brewery in 1988. You became the mayor of Denver, then governor of the state of Colorado. What would be your single biggest priority if you become president of the United States?
Well, you know, I'm running for president because I think we're in a national crisis of division. I don't think we've been this divided since the Civil War. And it's preventing us from dealing with some of these really big challenges, the incredible inflation for healthcare costs over the last 30 years, the way the entire workplace is going to be disrupted by artificial intelligence and automation, climate change. We are rapidly approaching a point of irreversible damage to our planet, and yet somehow we're not able to even find the smallest common ground.
What would you do on the issue of climate change? I know that in the past, because of your support of fracking, there are some environmentalists who've called you Frackenlooper.
Yeah. The problem isn't fracking. And I understand why people want to get out of hydrocarbons immediately, but most of those people are still driving automobiles. What we've done in Colorado, and I'd hold our record up against any other state, we were able to get the oil and gas industry and the environmental community to sit down and negotiate what we call methane regulations. But, you know, methane is 25 to 40 times worse for climate change than carbon dioxide. So we ended up getting the oil and gas industry to pay $60 million a year to address these fugitive emissions of methane. We've just in the process still now of closing two coal-fired electrical generation plants in southern Colorado, replacing them with wind, solar, and for the first time in the country, batteries.
Do you think that in the future there should be a point at which the U.S., the goal of the United States, is to have no more power coming from oil and gas in any way?
Well, at some point we want to get to as clean an energy system as possible. And that's going to require all kinds of innovations, some of which we've never even seen to this day. It'll take a while before we are completely free of all hydrocarbons. Let's be brutally honest. I don't see any way that could possibly ever happen by 2030. But I do share the urgency that we've got to make that transition much more rapidly than what we're seeing take place today.
You know, it doesn't get the headlines that some of these other issues get, but the leading cause of death in the United States for men and women is heart disease, according to the CDC. One in four people die of it. What would you do, or is there anything that you would do as president to deal with obesity and heart disease?
Oh, absolutely. And I think our system rewards when we have a medical crisis. That's when hospitals and doctors and pharmaceutical companies, that's when they get paid a lot of money. There's no great economic reward for the system if we convince citizens to avoid or change their lifestyle so they don't become vulnerable for heart attacks, if they don't have high blood pressure. So we need to change that whole system. One thing we've done in Colorado is really promote aggressively outdoor recreation, get more people walking, more people hiking. We've got to bring exercise back into elementary and middle and high schools. There's got to be a recess. We've got to become more active. And instead, we're going just the opposite direction. You know, the big financial incentive for our system is to get kids to spend more time looking in their cell phones. That's not healthy at all.
What do you think of the idea of Medicare for all when it comes to healthcare?
Well, I believe in universal coverage, and I think we have to provide a public option of some sort. And maybe that'll be Medicare or some combination of Medicare and Medicare Advantage. Could also be expanding Medicaid. But I don't think – I mean, there are roughly 160 million people that get their healthcare coverage through private insurance, most of it through their workplace. So I don't think we're going to take – I don't see government prying away the healthcare insurance that people are happy with from 80, 100, 120 million people. So if we provide a public option, and that is Medicare or Medicare Advantage or some combination, and Medicare grows and its scale, its costs go down, it becomes what everybody chooses, and then we evolve into Medicare for all, but it's an evolution, it's not a revolution.
Mm. How much time in your life have you spent outside the United States?
Oh, a fair amount. You know, when I was young, I was, I wouldn't say obsessed, but I spent a lot of time in Latin America. When I was a graduate student as a geologist, I worked in Costa Rica for about 10 months. I've always been someone who explores new territories, and most of that's been in Latin America, but I've also been multiple times to Japan and Israel and Europe, Asia. You learn about your own culture by immersing yourself in other cultures.
And when it comes to foreign policy, China is the world's second largest economy now. We're in a trade war with China at the moment. Do you think that the U.S. should actively try and stop China from becoming the largest economy, the largest military power in the world? And if so, how?
Well, let me first say that China was cheating on agreements. China was stealing intellectual property from American companies. I think we needed to address that. That being said, getting into a trade war, you know, in that trade war, we've in many ways have withdrawn from all of our international agreements. We're allowing China to have an open field in South America, in Africa, in Central Asia. And they are now making investments in infrastructure and building relationships that we're going to regret deeply. I mean, China is so large, both geographically and by population. Ultimately, slowly, they will become larger than the United States. We have to make sure that as they grow, we understand and are able to help shape that growth so that long term, we have a vision of how we can coexist and not be rivals and not get to the brink of military engagement. I think what President Trump has created with the trade war is pushing us to situations where we do get closer to armed conflict.
You've referred to yourself as an extreme moderate. have you ever voted for a Republican for president?
I have not voted for a Republican for president, although I can say with a straight face and true honesty, I feel that I've always voted for the best person. You know, I always tell this funny story that all my grandparents, all my aunts and uncles were all Republicans, but my mother was widowed twice before she turned 40 years old. And she thought government maybe should be smaller, but the government had to work. And she raised four Democrats.
Speaking of your family, I want to ask you one more thing, which is that your father died when you were very young. How much of an impact did that have on who you are today?
Well, my father was a great raconteur. He loved telling stories. He was an engineer. So he was a person comfortable with numbers and economics. I've gotten so much of who I am from him, but he got cancer when I think I was 4.5 or 5. So I don't have that many memories of him, but he died just after I turned 8. Mm-hmm. And his vacuum, his absence was something I never could identify, but it was there. And it certainly created in me an empathy. I felt marginalized in many ways, and I became very empathetic with other people that were the kids in school that didn't fit in as well socially with everybody else. I was the kid in my class that tried to be friends with everybody. And in that process, I think I learned how to listen to people better. You know, my mother told us when we were kids, you can't control what life throws at you, right? You can't, what terrible things come, you can't control, but you can control how you respond, whether it makes you stronger or weaker.
So, Governor Hickenlooper, as you look forward to this campaign, where are you going to be focusing most of your efforts?
Well, Colorado has a special relationship with Iowa. We have so many people in Colorado that have moved here from Iowa or come here for a few years and then go back to Iowa. So we're going to spend a lot of time in Iowa, and I think a lot of time in New Hampshire, just because my mother grew up in the Depression. She never bought a dress. She sewed everything for most of her life. She never bought a dress. And I think New Hampshire has that same sense of frugality in many places. So I think who I am will fit in well with how New Hampshireites feel about who they are.
That is John Hickenlooper, the former governor of Colorado and now a Democrat running for president. Thank you so much for joining us.
No, thank you so much, Jeremy. I appreciate it.